Welcome to another episode of the Halloween Podcast. My name is Lyle Perez, your host, and today I am joined by my good friend April. Say hi, April.
Hi, April.
That never gets tired. Never get tired of hearing that.
Funny to me.
Yeah, it's really funny. If you guys have listened to any of my old shows, you would know that my friend April was my co-host over at the Friday Show and Thursday Theme Song. And I thought it'd be really fun if I can get her back on the mic. And we found some time.
Yay.
We found a lot of
and
good
I
time.
I love Halloween.
And yeah, as soon as I told her that I was going to do 31 Halloween shows, she was in.
As soon as I could find the time to do it, I was in.
It didn't take her much time. As soon as I told her Halloween, she was like, okay, let's record. I'm ready. And we did.
The good news is it was coming up on a free weekend, so it was perfect timing. It was meant to be.
It was meant to be because we love Halloween and we love sitcoms, and that's exactly what we did in this episode. We watched a Halloween themed sitcom because, as you know, in the Halloween podcast, that's what I do. I do nothing but Halloween themed stuff through the month of October. And today we saw Family Matters. And let's see, what do we got here? It originally aired on October 26, 1990. Do you know what you were doing back in 1990? I don't. I was 5 when this episode came out.
Wait, you said 90?
Yeah, 1990.
I was 10, so I still don't know what I was doing because I was 10.
You were 10 years old.
I was 10.
And I was 5. I was barely becoming aware. I don't remember watching Family Matters that young. I mostly saw it in syndication.
Syndication?
Yeah, when
episode reruns.
Yeah, like reruns, I guess is
the smart person version of just saying reruns.
Yeah, I guess you can say that.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Smart person uses big words. I use the word reruns.
Mm-hmm. And this was what was this? This was season number 2 of Family Matters episode. I don't know what episode this is because I can't see it anywhere in my notes. Give me 1 second. I will find it.
I will banter while you do that. I love this show. I'm really glad that he called me up to do this. I'm really glad he picked Family Matters because it was a blast from the past.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't watched it in a really long time and I enjoyed it. And I don't believe I watched this one because it felt like a new episode for me.
I know. We watched it together, sort of. April is, I don't know, you're up, I don't know, 100, 300, 1,000 miles away from me. I don't know how far you are.
Am I up?
Yeah, I'm in Southern California. I'm close to Mexico.
Yes, I am up.
Yeah.
You're down. I'm up.
I am as far down as you can go without being in Mexico.
Without being in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. I've been to Mexico numerous times. I got dental work there done not too long ago.
Wait, that's a thing you can do?
Yeah, you go. Oh, man. I had to get a root canal. And I went to the dentist here in America where I live, and they wanted to charge me $2,000 to give me a root canal. So I call up my dad, who lives in Mexico. He lives in TJ, but he works up here.
TJ?
Yeah, Tijuana.
Tijuana.
So
that's a real name.
Yeah, that is the name of the city.
Ooh.
And right on the border of the America and Mexico. But that's where he lives.
It sounds like a fancy bird.
Oh, yeah. It's the name of a woman, actually. Woman.
Oh,
female
okay,
name.
Okay.
And so I call them up. I say, hey, I got to go to the dentist because, I mean, they want to charge me $2,000. And that's with insurance. $2,000 with insurance. So, yeah. I mean, called him up. His girlfriend down there took me to the dentist. And I got a root canal done for
$300. $300. But didn't it get infected?
It did get infected.
Is that related?
I don't know. I don't think the dentist fully cleaned everything out. So I might have had like a small fragment of a tooth stuck in there. And that's what caused the infection. That's what the hospital said.
Clearing up the infection cost how much?
Clearing up, it was free because of the insurance. So I didn't have to pay anything. Oh. I think I paid like, I don't know, $20 for the medicine. But that was pretty much it.
Is it fun to go to Mexico as someone who's never been? It sounds exciting and exotic.
If you've never been to Mexico,
I expect colorful birds to just appear.
No, if you've never been to Mexico, you will be so scared of being in Mexico.
Oh. Why is Mexico scary?
Mexico, you know you're getting close to Mexico when you can smell it. You can smell Mexico. That's how bad it is.
Smell Mexico?
Yeah. The second
what
you
does it smell like?
It smells like Mexico. I mean, I can't describe it. It smells like sewer, I guess, is the best way to say it.
And you went there on purpose for your mouth?
You get used to it pretty fast. I mean, I've been to Mexico numerous times, so I'm very aware of what it's like down there. So when you go down there, you have to be aware there's a bunch of random people just walking around right at the border. There's a lot of Mexican police that's policing the area, so you'll see guys walking around with submachine guns around their wrists, full on armor on. Looks like they're going to war. You see that everywhere. There's a million cabs. If you need a cab, all you gotta do is raise your hand. A cab, they'll fight to get your business. You'll get in a cab that with a seatbelt that doesn't work. Tell them where you need to go. They'll take you. Give them a couple bucks, and there you go. It's really strange. A
couple of bucks?
Yeah, usually, I mean, it's like $5, and they'll take you wherever you want to go, really.
But what if you say I have no Spanish money? Mexico money?
Yeah,
what's Mexico money called?
It's pesos, and on the border, on the border, you can use American money. They'll do the conversion for you. I think it's
that's awfully nice.
20 pesos equals like $1.
That's confusing.
Yeah, but enough Mexico talk.
I was fascinated. The closest I've been is Disneyland.
This is the Halloween podcast, not the Lyle goes down to Mexico to get drilled podcast.
That's in a way that's scary, so it fits.
I had no problem with it. I don't get scared easily.
Okay, that's good, because you got an infected mouth hole, and that's so scary.
Yeah, well, whatever. I'm fine. But, okay, so this was Family Matters. It was a good show. It was season 2, exactly what I thought, episode 7.
Yay! Oh, did you know they had 215 episodes?
I did. I knew that I think they were the second longest running black sitcom there was.
Well, how about for the longest running sitcom without that? Without worrying what color? I mean, that's interesting too.
Well,
because I feel like 215 is a lot.
Yeah, but it's nowhere near what in general, it's nowhere near what you would think. I mean, Frasier, I'm pretty sure, went a lot longer. Cheers went a lot longer. I think Cheers is the number one podcast, the number one sitcom that's out there. And if you want to count The Simpsons as a sitcom, The Simpsons, I think, is the one that holds the longest running show ever.
In a way, yes, and in a way, no, because it's an animated series.
It is an animated series, but then, I mean, if you want to count, not sitcoms, but what are those, soap operas? If you want to count soap operas, there are some that have been around since, I think, the 20s. They just keep redoing
then
the cast.
Win.
So, I don't know, but everywhere you see it, it's the second longest running sitcom with a predominant black family. The first one, I believe, is The Jeffersons. The Jeffersons is number one with, I think, not that many more episodes. If they would have went one more season, they would have knocked off The Jeffersons. But
they should have continued them.
They had plans to. The last episode kind of just finished. Steve was lost in space, and then he figured out a way how to get back on the shuttle, and then that was the end of the show. Laura and Steve never got married, which they had plans of doing. But that's just how it goes in the sitcom world, I guess. Here one day, gone the next.
Aww.
Mm-hmm. But, so we saw the season 2, episode 7, Halloween episode, Dog Day Halloween. What'd you think of the episode?
I enjoyed it. I could have sworn I watched all of these. At least I thought I did. You know, like, I don't know. Like, when it was on TGIF, was that at reruns? Or was that live? Or new, I mean, or current, or whatever you call it.
If it was on TGIF, probably, there's a good chance it was new. But later on, TGIF did do a lot of reruns of shows. I'm not sure if Family Matters was ever on reruns. I don't know. I'd have to double check. But
well, I know for a fact that I was watching TGIF.
Right.
So I must have watched it then.
Mm-hmm.
And for the younger listeners, there was no DVR back then. So for some reason, you weren't home.
You missed it.
The episode. And that was it.
Unless you had one of those fancy VCRs that you could time the program.
And you knew how to use it, and they'd actually let you record your show mm-hmm. versus their own.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could only do one at a time.
Yeah. Those were the good old days.
And
the good old days of VHS. I
remember how excited I was when I could tell it that I wanted this thing to record at this time. And I don't even remember how that worked anymore, but I know you could. And then you didn't have to be home, and it would record for you.
Yeah. DVR is a wonderful thing.
But then you could run out of tape.
And then that was the worst.
You wouldn't get to finish watching it, and then you'd have the whole moment of, no!
Yeah, and then the realization that you recorded over something else you wanted to watch, doubled no.
Uh-huh. Or that a family member recorded their show, so yours didn't get recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Or you were in the middle of watching it and had to go to school or something, and then they started recording their show and you missed the ending.
Or the house burned down and you lost everything.
Well, that's morbid.
Yeah, that escalated pretty quickly.
It escalated very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So either way, I must have not been able to go home that night in time to watch the episode. Goodness knows what. I did have some after school, one after school activity that I could probably just say that was probably at fault.
Right.
But I'd never seen this episode because I usually, even if I haven't seen it in a long time, I can usually say I remember enough of it that I know I saw it, but I may not remember it, but I had no memory of this. So it was fun because it was like brand new for me, so it was funny.
Yeah, you were laughing it up. We were watching it sort of together online, in a way. We were watching it.
It was really cool.
Yeah, it's
fun. Will we get in trouble for that?
I don't think so. I mean, we're not doing anything wrong.
If anything, we're making the show more famous.
I know. We're talking about a episode that aired 27 years ago.
Oh God, I feel old.
I know, 27 years this episode came out.
Because I'm 37. I mean, that tells you the exact math. It's perfect. So
exactly.
Okay, so that was actually super fun, though, because I don't really get to hang out with people very often in person. And if I do, it's never to do something as simple and entertaining as getting to watch a TV show, let alone a TV show that I love.
Mm-hmm. And then talk about it right afterwards.
So Lyle and I, through the magic of the internet, were able to watch the episode together. And it was very fun.
Yeah.
And then you know how you always like, you have a thing you want to say and you know you're funny?
Mm-hmm.
Or you think you thought something clever?
Right.
But then no one's around to hear it? You didn't have that problem tonight.
I was around to hear it.
Together.
I got all of your commentary and I kept telling you, save it for the show. Save it for the show. Don't tell me. But what did you do?
My favorite was the snakes in the pizza box. Did that spoil anything?
No. Well, before we spoil, let's dive right into the episode.
Okay,
so the episode opens with Harriet, who is the mom, and Carl. They're kind of decorating the living room. It's, I think it's the day before
He's
Halloween.
Got a skeleton on wheels. It's awesome.
Yeah, skeleton. I think it's actually the day of Halloween, because not too long after, Eddie and his friend Rodney, who this is, you only see him in this scene. You don't see him at all throughout the rest of the episode.
Yeah, that's true.
Eddie is dressed up as Frankenstein's monster, which is an awesome costume. He had the best costume. Like, he looked great in that costume. Mm-hmm. I'm so angry that they only showed him in like 2 minutes of this whole show. Not even 2 minutes, maybe. And then Rodney was dressed up as Don King. That is extremely dated.
Yes. My favorite part was that he had boobs, mm-hmm. and then when he got the pat down to find, you know, what do you call it, what they were doing? Like, the Halloween prank?
They were going to vandalize stuff, apparently, because Rodney comes in, they were in the living room, Rodney comes in with Eddie, and he yells something about needing more eggs.
Eddie, we need more eggs! Mother dear, just why do you two need eggs?
Oh, I was just alerting your son to an impending shortage of farm foods.
Right.
So obviously that gets the parents' minds going. Why do you guys need eggs if you're going out trick-or-treating? So that's when Carl, who's a cop, gives him a pat down and finds shaving cream. They find eggs. Toilet paper.
And the toilet paper was his boobs.
Yeah, I'm guessing it was supposed to be his stomach, because I think Don King is a hefty person, so...
No, he still had padding around his tummy.
Right.
But
it was just everywhere?
He totally got his boobs removed with the toilet paper. Oh, and it was funny, because you know what he said? It came with the outfit. Totally a lie.
All right, sorry about that, guys. We are back. We had a little bit of technical difficulties, but that is the dangers of being on Skype over the internet.
I sounded like a robot.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. But what were you saying? Something about Rodney?
Oh, and you know the best part? After he had his boob removal, Carl continues to pat him down, and that was the funny moment, because like I said, I hadn't watched the show in a really long time until we saw this episode.
Right.
And then when he did, like, assert the position, I was like, oh yeah, that's right, he's a cop, that's so authentic. And then it was funny because he was finding the eggs and he was finding the soap, but I'm not really sure what the soap was for. He found the shaving cream, I know what the shaving cream was for. He found the toilet paper, I know what the toilet paper was for.
That.
And he's like, let me just make sure, I'm using my cop senses, I sense more. Uh-huh. And then he got him right on the head, and they popped the egg in his hair.
that probably ruined his entire night. There's no way he was going to be able to clean that off. I'm assuming they were probably going to go trick-or-treating or maybe to a party. That probably just ruined the whole night for him. There's no way he was going to go out after that. It was all over his face, all over his hair, his costume.
And in his hair. Like, I don't know if he had real hair under that. I couldn't remember what he looked like.
Mm-hmm.
But the wig was going to be gross.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was funny because my sitcom senses knew he would find something else.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought he'd fish around in there kind of like Marge Simpson style.
Right.
And then find something like really wacky, like something huge. But then I couldn't think of like, what's he going to find? You know what I mean? Like a pickaxe. But that doesn't fit in there and that doesn't make Halloween sense. So I was expecting something ridiculously not realistic in his hair, but then what he did instead is he broke the egg, which was even funnier.
Yeah, the egg was... And then he said, hey, Rodney, you got a little egg on your face. That was a great line.
I didn't get that, though. I mean, yeah, he has egg on his face, though, but...
Yeah, that's the saying. Egg on your face? Oh, crazy.
He got egg on his face, but, mm-hmm. like, he could have gotten shaving cream on his face.
Yeah, to shave.
That wouldn't have made as much sense, though.
Nah, young guy doesn't need
to
shave
it. The egg was funny and it was gross, but it was funny because it was gross, probably.
Mm. Okay, well, after that,
they leave.
We get the opening theme song, which is, you know, a really probably the best theme song for a sitcom ever.
Oh my gosh, I forgot how much I love that song.
Yeah, it was great. We never covered it on our Thursday theme song show before we kind of canceled it. We were saving it. We had so much good stuff coming for you guys, but
I blame the bus.
Yeah, okay, I blame it on the bus. But
I blame it on the bus.
Yeah. Okay, so what comes
when
next?
I realized that the grandma died.
Oh, yeah. Just,
that was sad for me, because I just thought she was so funny.
Yeah, she died so shortly after the show ended. I think maybe 2 or 3 years after the show ended, she passed.
Was it her reason for living?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you, really. But, I mean, if you're busy, they say, I mean, look at, what's her name, Betty White. She's still hanging
Betty
around.
White,
she's,
I love her.
She's, what, 94, 95? Something like that?
I think she might be 98 now.
I don't think she's that old.
The Google will tell me.
Yeah, you look it up while I continue. So we get to the next scene. 95. Yeah, I was close. Oh, I think I was on it. All right. But
I just glued my fingers together, just in case you're wondering.
The
Bob Barker's 93.
Oh, yeah, he was in the hospital not too long ago.
And Dick Van Dyke is 91. I don't know why it's telling me everybody else, but it's interesting-ish.
Yeah.
So
the old actors.
Isn't that when Laura and Urkel come in?
Yeah, Laura. No, Laura and Rachel and the grandma come in. They just got their Halloween costumes.
I know that place, like
that. I
can... Oh, look! Here's my date. I am so sorry we took so long, but the costume store was mobbed.
Well, did we get good outfits?
Good outfits? Great outfits. I'm going to be Rapunzel.
I'm going to be Tina Turner.
And I'm going to be Betty Davis and whatever happened to Baby Jane. Who am I going to be?
Well, I guess I better go up and check on Richie.
Rachel, who am I going to be? The Hunchback of Notre Dame!
Well, Harriet, you're a popular size. It was either the Hunchback or Leatherface. Call me crazy, but I thought you'd jump for the hump.
I jumped ahead because it was funnier. But yeah, oh my God. This episode totally reminded me how much I used to think costumes were... It did not English that good. Watching these shows obviously was my example of what I thought how the real world worked. So when they would come out with these amazing costumes from costume shops, which, yeah, that I don't haven't found one of those, or like the Halloween costumes that you can just go and buy, they're never even 1% as good.
No.
As what you used to see on TV, yeah, which I've always thought was the saddest thing in the world.
Yeah, the ones you buy at, like, the Halloween stores, the, you know, the spirit store, the Halloween
towns,
all that stuff.
They're made out of cheesecloth.
Yeah, it's cheesecloth and plastic. That's all it is, and you're paying a premium for it. But the costumes that Rachel walked in with, they were, like, from a costume shop. Not a, you know, rinky-dink store.
Like from a TV series costume shop.
Yeah, from like a place where you would go to rent costumes if you need it for like, you know, doing a video or doing a movie or something. It was high-end stuff.
What I think would be hilarious is if anyone ever did a TV show where they actually used the ones from actual crappy costume shops and then made fun of them.
Oh, I'm sure somebody out there would have done
what
it.
What am I, cheesecloth man? What so, are you? I'm a giant hot dog.
The giant hot
made
dog.
Made of a trash bag.
Yeah, but Rachel walks in with, you know, her costume. Apparently, Harriet couldn't go to the Halloween costume place because she had to get her costume brought to her. Rachel comes in. She's going to be Rapunzel. Laura's gonna be Tina Turner, and the costume they picked for Harriet was the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Well, it was either that or Leatherface.
Yeah, which is they made a Leatherface joke on this sitcom,
which is so kind of funny.
It is very
they
funny.
They said it was because her size was really popular.
Yeah, I guess she has, you know, I don't know if she works at Disney or something, but she had, you know, her size was popular, so who knows.
Which is hard to tell because the 80s wardrobes that they're wearing in this late in this early 90s series is very boxy.
Mm-hmm.
That was the fashion critique for the episode. You're welcome, everyone. Yeah, but I gotta tell you, though, you hear the Hunchback of Notre Dame and you think, oh, but when she comes out, she is owning that costume. And it was awesome.
When you see her later in the episode,
honestly,
perfect.
She looks amazing. Mm-hmm. I think she was just sad because she didn't get to play something pretty.
Right.
Oh, and then the mom, the grandma, she was somebody, but I forget who, from something I've never seen.
Yeah, she was Shirley Temple. I don't remember. Baby Jane?
Something like from something I never watched.
Something,
all
yeah.
I can say. I'm sorry, I don't remember.
Another dated reference that I don't know.
It was cute. I thought her outfit was cute. Did you say throw mama from the train, or am I making that up?
I think you're making that up.
Okay, Well, don't throw Mama from the train. She'll ground you.
No.
That was funny.
But after all that...
I got my first sitcom, man.
After all that mayhem is done, we get Steve Urkel pops in through the door. After, oh, wait, no. Carl's saying that this place is not scary enough.
Hey there. Good decorating. The house is looking scary.
Yeah, but not scary enough. We need something else. Something to make the place really frightening.
Hi, guys.
It's such a sitcom thing to
and then
do.
And they're like, perfect. And I'm like, perfect. I don't know. He's, you know, he's not scary. He's just going to break stuff.
Yeah, he's going to break stuff. And he's a menace, I guess you can say. Not really, though. He's what do you call it? He has a big heart. He really loves everybody. But he's just a klutz.
Oh, God, you just described me.
sorry, I mean, April, sorry.
I got the mail cart one time stuck in a garbage can.
Oh, man.
Oh, God, I'm Steve Urkel.
No, you're not.
I don't pull my pants up that high.
It's not like you have glasses.
I do.
Oops.
And I also don't know if you realized this earlier, but when I was laughing at the toilet paper boobs, I did snort laugh.
Hopefully I got that on the recording. So.
And you know, the sad part is I don't know how to do it on command. That is a legit snort laugh. I do that sometimes. It is usually around the time that I've been ill.
Yeah.
So, damn it, I hope I'm not getting a sinus infection.
Yeah, well, enjoy that, audience. So, we need to hurry this along. We have...
TMI, sorry.
Okay, so... Steve plays a joke on Carl. He says, hey, you want some of this peanut brittle? And he pops it open and whoa, look at all these snakes that pop out. It's such a dad joke.
And I totally saw that one coming.
Yeah, you did. You saw it a mile away.
I saw that one a mile away. That one I expected, which the funny part was, I was surprised that it surprised him.
Mm-hmm.
That was what surprised me.
Yeah, it was... I don't know. They had to, I guess, for the show, but I honestly think... Who really falls for those things? I don't.
I guess somebody who's never watched TV.
Yeah, I guess. But, okay, smash cut, and we go to the bank, and we don't see anything. We just see the inside of this, I don't know, the smallest bank I've ever seen, really. It's like a small-town bank in Chicago where they're supposed to be, but it's so tiny. Okay, so...
And it has the highest rates on bonds.
The highest paid rates on something or other. I don't remember. But we don't see anything. And the doors fly open and Laura walks in. She's dressed to the nine of Tina Turner. She looks just like a miniature version of Tina Turner.
She even does the Tina Turner dance.
She does the Tina Turner dance. And
I was a little afraid for her safety because her earrings were, like, dangerously too long. Like, she was going to get them caught on something.
I know. I was worried about that, too. But she had to complete the costume. I mean, she looked just like Tina Turner. But so the audience goes wild. And then all of a sudden, Steve jumps in after he says something about, wait for me, Laura. And what is he wearing?
Superman.
He's a full-on Superman costume. Muscles and everything.
So scrawny that it's almost even funnier because he's like Superman meets the elastic guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah.
Stretch Armstrong meets Superman.
So scrawny. Such a little guy. I feel sorry for Steve. But
he's okay now.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he's fine.
And he's got laughing paid for that. I'm saying he made some money being a scrawny little nerd, so it's okay. I don't feel sorry for nobody.
210 episodes. Even if he just made $1,000 each episode, that is 200. And
he probably didn't in the beginning, but later on, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he became the star of the show, so they must have kept him around. But
so he was hilarious, and he kept insisting that she call him Superman, and she refused
because she wasn't Lois Lane.
Kind of funny.
Come on, call me Superman.
No.
Soup?
No.
Man of Steel.
Stop it.
Well, what's the matter, my little top 40 goddess?
Yeah, he wanted to be called Superman, but he's not.
Or Man of Steel. No.
Superman.
I liked that part. There was a lot of like the little sitcom-y things that I thought were funny, but the running gag on not calling her Tina Turner, I didn't get it because she looked like Tina Turner. It would have been funnier if she was not so like Tina Turner.
Right. Yeah, it was a little weird. I mean,
that one.
Let's
do they pay the audience to laugh on command? Or maybe other people thought that was funny and I just didn't.
Well, being as somebody who was recently on a taping of a television show, I can tell you a lot of that stuff is like, it was weird because I was on Adam Carolla's show not too long ago, the Build Stuff Live. I was actually on camera, so you could, if you see that episode, I was on episode four, the one with Trace Adkins. I'm actually on camera. You can see me and I talk to Adam and he talks back to me, yada yada. So I can tell you,
it's, now your best friend.
Oh, it's no, I wish, but it's really it was really strange because I was actually supposed to be on camera and I knew I was going to be on camera from the very beginning. I was supposed to ask a question, and when I finally got to the studio, I had like the VIP treatment. I went to a kind of like a green room, I guess you can call it. I don't know, like a waiting room where. My question was all rehearsed. I had to like learn that question. Learn how.
It wasn't your question?
Well, it was my question, but it was a version of my question. Like my actual question was.
Did they edit the wording?
No, I had to present it like they wanted me to, like Adam wanted me to. That's how I had to word it. So I had to. It wasn't
say
actually.
Say it to me like this, Lyle.
That's pretty much how it was. They wanted me to say it like this. So we rehearsed it. Like the first hour I was there, it was just nothing but rehearsing that line, rehearsing it. So when I was actually on camera, because it's live, it's not taped where we can do multiple tapes. It's whatever comes out. That's yeah. Whatever, however you say it, that's the way it comes out on the show. There's no editing. So I get there, do all that. There was supposed to be another guy who was supposed to ask a question on the same episode as me, but he was cut out of the show.
Good at it?
I had zero problem remembering the line and being able to recite it. And the other guy,
I had no doubt.
He had a little bit of a problem. So I think that's kind of a reason why they decided to just cut his out. Yeah, everything is off stage. You get there. I sat down in front row. There's like a guy who goes in between. Like when they're supposed to have commercial breaks, there's a guy who like talks to the audience. He hands out tickets to whatever. Hey, where are you from? And he talks to everybody upspoken. So he does that throughout the things. And he also says before the show even starts, he tells you, hey, this is, you know, when you see me do this symbol, everyone be quiet. When you see me go like this, and he does like this rodeo motion, it means to clap. Just big old smiles, all this stuff.
Oh, because they're going to like aim the camera at you guys, so they want you smiling.
Yeah, so everyone, you know, they always want you smiling, they want you to be upbeat, they want you to be happy. Everyone, the biggest line everyone kept saying was, hey, it's TV, you gotta be up, you gotta be big, it's TV. So I was like, okay, it's TV, so whatever. Everything's really fake. It was so weird. When it was my turn to go like be on the camera, that commercial break, the producer talked to me, the Adam never talked to me really, but it was the producers, it was the guy who's like the host, he was talking to me too, and everything from like what I was wearing to what I have to say to where I need to stand to where I need to look to how I need to address, everything was all told to me. So it's what I needed to do. Yeah, like there's a certain wardrobe that you need to do, and you need to go by it. Like, no logos, no this, no that.
Did you know that before you went?
Yeah, you know that before you go. So they tell you what not to wear and what you can wear, what colors to wear. Don't wear white. TV stuff, I guess, is what they kept saying. But, and then, you know, I asked the question. I asked it perfectly. And if you want to watch it, episode 3 or 4 or something like that, Trace Adkins is the guest. I'm pretty sure you could find it online somewhere and you could watch me make a fool of myself.
No.
Yeah. I think I have it on the DVR somewhere. But I don't know. I don't know how we got into that. But
you were, because I said that joke
wasn't really that funny, and I think they must have been being paid to laugh.
Oh, paid. Yeah, there's people that are actually paid to be in the audience. If you watch the show...
Oh, that's hilarious.
If you watch the Adam Carolla Build Stuff live show, the people in the background behind Adam when he's talking, those are all paid people. They're paid to be there. Or so
that's
they
hilarious,
told.
Because I was totally joking.
Yeah, so there's actually people in the audience that are paid to, I think it's like $30 or something, to be there, and they're told to smile. They have to always be smiling and stuff. So, TV stuff, weird. One thing I did notice about this bank is there were no computers at all. When Steve went up to the counter...
Oh my gosh, you're right!
There were no computers. Everything was written down. How dated is that?
Very.
That is so dated. I actually remember going to banks like that when I was a very small kid. And my mom. Weird stuff. But yeah, no... It was just like a counter and a desk on the side with no computers anywhere. And
wow, that's crazy to think about now. If you think about it now. Think about it now. It's crazy.
I know. Go to the bank and they, what is it? It's nothing but computers.
To say, think about it now. Oh, yeah. They literally can't even help you until the computer is turned on. I called this morning.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't realize that they would answer the phone before they were open, because that seems silly. And then they're like, well, I can't help you because our computers aren't on yet. And I'm like, then why did you answer the phone?
Why would you answer it? I don't know.
You couldn't help me.
But that's a bank. So, Steve wants to cash his check. And he actually gives you a breakdown of where he wants the money to go.
I want $9 in my savings account, $11 in my interest-bearing checking account, $7 in my IRA account, and $4 in my Christmas club.
You still have a dollar left, Steve.
I know. Where do you think I should put it? Cash will do her. Happy Halloween, Mars.
Oh, it will be in a minute.
So that was hilarious.
He wanted $9 to go into a savings account. He wanted $11 to go into his checking account. He wanted $7 in his IRA, which is a kind of like an investment, retirement investment. He wanted $4 to go into his Christmas account, which I think is like for Christmas gifts.
You know, for you save it for the year to buy Christmas gifts.
Right, and then he wanted, and then he had $1 left, so he got it in cash. So he got $1 cash. And then it boils down to $31.
And my question is, what does he do where he only made $31? No, it's $32, but still.
This is what I think. Because at the time where this episode takes place, he was working at Rachel's place, which is Rachel's restaurant. So I'm assuming he made...
Is he a busboy?
Yeah, like a server. So I'm assuming he made 30. He probably made a lot more than $31, but after paying for the broken dishes and all that stuff, he only ended up with $31.
Well, I also imagine he probably had to comp people for dropping their food on him.
Yeah, so he probably had, you know, $200 paycheck. Cool, cool. And then all of a sudden, $170 worth of deductions.
I can see that.
He's walking tall with a dollar in his pocket and $30 in his four different accounts.
Inflation cannot explain that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's so weird.
That is not inflation rates. So I can say that now for sure. It's kids. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I keep talking to kids. Is that weird?
Who knows? Kids might be
explaining it to the kids listening.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure they're set. You know, they understand it because they weren't there.
Yeah.
So they were not created yet. I'm helpful.
After we get the breakdown of his, you know, his spreading out his $31, Abraham Lincoln walks in, and then he holds up the place.
Which I thought, Abraham Lincoln. Now, it's a little grainy and a little pixelated, and on my screen, Abraham looked a little green, so in my mind, it was like, wow, it's Frankenstein Abraham Lincoln. That's awesome. Oh, that's not what they're doing.
No, that wasn't what they're doing at all.
Well, now I'm like, now I want to do that. That sounds like a great idea for a costume. I could win a prize.
Yeah.
You're welcome, everybody. You can use that, too.
You sure are. But then that's where all of the not calling Laura Tina Turner things start is when he pretty much walks in, because first he calls her Diana Ross. And then he calls her
Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan, Aretha Franklin, Paula Abdul, everything except for Tina Turner, and she just gets fed up with it.
When she gave up, that was when I found it funny.
When she finally said, fine, and she just went with it. But
when she gave up, that's when it was hilarious.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln holds up the bank. I don't know, obviously he doesn't know Steve, so when he gives Steve the bag and tells him to fill it with money, he did not know that Steve was going to like get stuck in the line separator that was there. He was going to try to jump over the counter.
Over the counter.
And
he would have, if he'd have known who he was, he would have told him to go around.
Yeah, or he would have just done it himself. Why even get poor little Steve?
Or maybe gotten a bank teller to do it, because they clearly would know how to get back there.
Right, yeah. So Steve asks him if he wants penny wrappers. He asks him if he wants large bills or small bills or something like that. And the guy just gets so fed up.
Counting it one.
Yeah, one at a time.
11. I'll count it later.
Yeah, and the guy and just...
You notice he's still only putting in like one bill at a time.
Mm-hmm. The dude finally gets fed up. And then
he
freaked out
he missed.
He gets so fed up, he shoots his gun, and then Steve just starts throwing money everywhere, and nothing goes inside the bag.
It was hilarious. I'm like, well, you know what? If only he wasn't like actually, I can't even talk because it's so funny.
Slow down.
It would have been really great if it was just because he was just so smart. He was foiling the criminal, but really, it wasn't.
No, it was just because he's Steve. That's what he is. He's Urkel. That's what he does.
Yeah, that's the Urkel thing to do.
Yeah, but one of the bank tellers tripped the silent alarm, so you hear the police sirens coming. Abraham Lincoln says, oh, I gotta get out of here. He grabs his $3 inside of the bag, and he just takes off running. Everyone, you know, the bank tellers and Steve, Laura, they're kind of like going, oh, good, he's finally gone.
I just want to get out of here and go home. And then Abraham Lincoln pops back in.
You hear the cop go, you know, Abraham Lincoln, freeze. And you could obviously tell that it's Carl saying that.
Actually, I didn't get that.
You didn't get that? Oh, man. I remember.
Oh, man, I failed.
If you hear your father's voice every day, why wouldn't you hear it on there?
Card now.
What?
I got to turn in my sitcom fan card now. I didn't recognize his voice. I'm fired.
I know you failed. But... So yeah, and that's, we get more Aretha Franklin, Paula Abdul type stuff. We get to, it does kind of like a cut to the family house now, the Winslow home. Mm-hmm. And they're waiting for Laura because Laura went to the bank to go get some, you know, cash her check, get some money, and then go buy candy for the trick-or-treaters. But she's not back yet. She's, you know, she's stuck at the bank. She's being held up. And
she's a hostage.
Yeah. And that's when Harriet comes down the stairs saying, hey, look, I found 3 peanut butter cups in Carl's sock drawer. We can give those out. Who would give out single peanut butter cups?
Well, and if you think about it, they're not in a wrapper. They're in a sandwich bag. And they were found in someone's sock drawer.
Yeah. That's disgusting.
There's so many things wrong with that.
But her costume was great. She was like
the way she moved in it too.
Yeah, she was going for it. She did the voice. Mm-hmm. She was like hunched over. Everything. She won the costume.
She won the Halloween that year. Her and Eddie tied for first. Sorry.
Right.
Her and Eddie tied for first. Final answer.
Yeah, it was weird. But then pops in Rachel with the other 2 kids with her son Richie, little Richie, and the daughter Judy, who mysteriously like was removed from the show in later seasons. She wasn't even around in the later shows. She was just like non-existent, but she existed in this season. And one thing that they did, I didn't understand what the joke was, because they both walk in, they both have their bags of candy. She says, you know, we got tons of candy. And then she looks inside her bag and she says, hey, mine's half empty. Why is yours full? She's talking to the little kid. And he says, well, I don't know. It's because I'm cuter. And then he walks off. Was that joke supposed to be that people gave him more candy?
He stole her candy.
Yeah, or did he steal it? Because he runs off like he stole it, but, I mean, were they giving him more? I don't know. You feel like that's what happened? What the joke was that he was stealing it?
I feel like he stole it, and I feel like he was trying to pass it off as he was cuter, but in fact, he just stole it. Like, I feel like that was his way of trying to cover up the fact that he really stole it.
Right. I don't know. I've wondered that for many, many years. Because I didn't know what it was.
Well, unless they spell it out, I'm never really 100% certain with stuff like that anyway, so I can understand.
Yeah. Craziness. But, okay, so they run off, and they're still waiting for Laura, so they cut back to the bank where Lieutenant Murtaugh comes in, and they're outside, and Carl's kind of like looking at a map of the bank. They're kind of, you know, doing police stuff.
And that's when I'm like, hey, why do I know that guy? And we find out.
We find out that he passed away last year, I think in August 2016, at the age of 75. Good old Lieutenant Murtaugh passed
away.
And
it's really cool because he actually was a character on Star Wars Rebels, which ties into my other podcast, which is the Padawan Cast.
Mm-hmm. Go check that out if you like Star Wars stuff.
And we swear a lot, so don't be surprised.
Yeah, this is a family-friendly show, and that one is not. But if you like it,
not so much so that you might have pain in your ears from the swearing. Right. Sorry, in advance.
Yeah, I am a father.
Oh, what else was he in? That was really cool. Remember I said I recognized his voice, but I wouldn't have recognized his face?
It was a cartoon show? Was it like...
Was it Ariel Monsters?
Yeah, Ariel Monsters. That's the one. He played I don't remember who he played on there, but he was a voice on that show. Yeah. I do remember that show. Maybe
I feel
I'll
like
do
that's
it
what it had
sometime
to have been, because I didn't recognize his face.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I definitely recognize his voice.
Yeah, or it could have just been that you recognize him from... Family Matters, because he was on the show quite often as the bumbling lieutenant. Especially in this episode, because in this episode he was all like,
Winslow, Lieutenant Murtaugh, sir, who's in charge here? You are, sir. Good answer. Fill me in. Well, it's a 211 in progress, sir. Robbery suspect holed up in bank across the street.
Investors Bank of Chicago, currently paying the highest interest rates on a jumbo CD.
I wouldn't know, sir. But surveillance indicates there is only one suspect. He has hostages, number unknown.
Oh, this is a nasty situation, Winslow. How would you handle it?
Well, sir, I obtained a rough sketch of the bank layout from the bank manager.
That's the manager? I'm changing banks.
But the SWAT team is deployed and covering both exits.
Excellent. Well, let's get in there and turn this guy into a human sprinkler.
Sir, according to the book, we should try to make contact with the suspect and attempt to determine the situation inside. If we negotiate, we might be able to avoid unnecessary loss of life.
Oh. Okay.
So what would you do?
Who's in charge here? And Carl's like, you are, sir. He's like, oh, okay, well, how would you handle this situation?
Kind of, I don't know why. I'm a sucker for those kind of jokes.
Where he's supposed to be the authority, but he is an idiot himself, and he has no idea what he's doing.
Basically, he's Homer Simpson.
Chief Wiggum.
Or he's the police officer from The Simpsons, which fits better because it works just the same.
Chief Wiggum. That is Lieutenant Murtaugh.
Chief Wiggum.
Yeah, so later we find out that the Abraham Lincoln guy, he is talking to the police, trying to figure things out, trying to make demands. And he's talking to Carl. Carl says, hey, I need to talk to one of the hostages. Got to make sure they're fine. And Laura comes in. And he's like, Laura, what are you doing in there? He's like, oh. And so the guy's like, oh, I got a leg to stand on now because I got me a cop's daughter here. So that's when things change and everything's looking grim now. But then we get drawn back to the family home, the Winslow home. And, we don't go back to the Winslow home. We go, it does like a cut, and then it goes back to the bank where the guy, what is he doing? He's
asking for a van full of gas.
Right.
And a plane waiting for him at the airport.
Yeah, which, I don't know, that's such a cliche demand from robbers.
Well, I think that's the reason why he gave that demand.
Yeah. I'd be like, I want a pardon. I want the governor here, or I'm going to start shooting hostages. So that way...
Is that a thing you can get?
Well, I don't think you can get anything, but, you know, whatever. I'm never going to become a robber, so I don't know.
So we don't need to worry about it if we're not going to do it.
So,
good point.
Yeah, so Carl finds out that Laura's there, and so we go to the bank again, and he's talking on the phone, like making his demands, and then you find out that the pizza's on its way, because that's what he was arguing about, wanting to know where this pizza was.
Yeah, we thought he was arguing again with the cops.
Right.
But it's really about a pizza.
Yeah, he wants the pizza to show up because they're hungry. And he kept, the Abraham Lincoln guy, he kept doing something with his breathing that really bothered me every time I watch this episode. He, like, blows. Every time he's finished with a sentence, he blows the rest of the air out of his mouth.
Shut up!
I don't know if you noticed that, but he kept doing it through the whole show, and it just bugs
me. I'm actually relieved I didn't notice, because I think that would have driven me crazy, too, and I was enjoying the episode.
You're going to watch it again, and you're going to notice it. You're welcome.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. So he kept doing that, and the cops over there, or not the cop, the bank robbers over there, looking out the window, looking at all the cops, trying to figure out where this pizza is, and Steve looks over to Laura and says, hey, I think I can take this guy. And
I thought, he's on drugs.
Yeah. So Laura's all like, no, I mean, don't do that. He has a gun. He's going to shoot you. You're going to die. And then she gets like this maniacal look on her face.
Steve, he's got a gun. He'll shoot you and you'll die. Go for it, Steve.
And then she's like, oh, like, okay.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yeah, you go take him on, Steve. So Steve gets up and bank robber turns around. He's all like, oh, what are you doing? And Steve just beats the guy up. Like, kicks the gun out of him.
Like Bruce Lee beating him up.
Yeah. Highly over-the-top stuff.
Mm-hmm. But funny.
Funny, kicks him, and then he brings him to the ground, and he grabs the gun, and he's kind of, like, stepping on him like Captain Morgan, one leg up, stepping on him with the gun in the air.
That's what that reminded me of.
And then Laura comes up. She's like, oh, Steve, you're my hero. Then he has like this big old smile on his face. And then it's
That's when I realize even more so that he's hallucinating or dreaming.
Just a dream.
Because she goes in and snuggles him. And I'm like, nope.
When he snaps out of the daydream, he still has that big old goofy smile on his face.
Oh my God. In a way that it's like, no, this boy is insane.
Yeah. So Laura,
in a way that you know he's crazy.
Steve looks over to Laura this time in the real world. And he's like, hey, I can take this guy. And she's like, no, don't even try. You're going to get hurt.
No. She said something hilarious. Do you remember what she said?
What did she say?
Where? To a movie?
That was
so good. I'm like, that was better than anything I would have said.
Yeah. Hey, I think I can take this guy. Where? To a movie?
Not with your dollar. From your paycheck.
With your paycheck dollar. He's going to take money out of his IRA. To take the guy to the movies. Well, who knows? Maybe back then, movies were a dollar.
Goodness. I don't think so, but...
I think the dollar theater is still around.
No, I don't think the dollar theater existed back then because movies were not... They were not expensive enough that you needed the feature of a dollar theater to make it doable. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
weird.
I'm not sure. It's hard to say, but Either way, no, I don't believe he would have taken him to a movie because the guy's like, no, I don't want to hang out with you after we're out of here.
After you only gave me $3 in my satchel and I'm going to go to jail for, I don't know, 6 years for only $3?
So funny.
But whatever. So he gets up like in his dream, and then quickly the bank robber like turns around and says, hey, what are you doing? And he just cowers. He goes, I'm not doing anything. I'm doing absolutely nothing. And he goes and sits back down, and the pizza finally barges in.
Well, finally, the pizza's here. All right, come on, let's go. What took you so long?
Sorry, man. Caught a flat on me bike. Hey, that's a real gun.
Yeah, and that better be real pizza.
Oh, it is, man. Best in town. Cheese fresh. At $22, man.
The cops are paying.
Shoot. That means no tip.
You open it.
See? Just grease.
Whoa! And it's Carl in the worst costume I've ever seen.
No, it wasn't the worst.
No?
I've seen worse. I actually thought it was funny because the wig was hilarious.
Actually, I think the bank teller's costume, the one that you didn't know what
one?
She was. Yeah, you didn't know what she was. She was.
Like, are you a pig? I can't tell. Are you a bunny? Bunny with no ears?
No ears.
What the hell are you?
Yeah, it just looked like she was wearing like something
a
on
weird
her
nose.
It was. I don't know.
Like, are you a mutant? What are you?
That's the worst costume, probably.
Worst costume because it was boring. And you couldn't tell what it was.
And the only man teller there. What was he? Was he like the?
He was a taxi driver.
Is that what he was? I thought he was the guy from the Village People. The biker?
No, he was a taxi driver.
He's a taxi driver. Mm,
yeah,
that
these taxi
the
driver
mystery.
Had on back when that they used to have uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure he was a taxi driver.
Yeah, that makes sense. But Carl walks in, and he cracks a couple
I
of jokes.
I love the accent.
Yeah, with a Jamaican accent, I guess it was. He kept saying
yeah,
"mon" all the
sorry.
Time.
I'm sorry, anyone who didn't like that, they're crazy because that was hilarious.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, I guess. If you like that, the dad. Type humor.
I like him.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I liked the I liked his accent. I thought it was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. But he walks in and he's all like, oh, I just got your pizzas here. And bank robbers are like, you open the pizza. Let me see. So he opens one box and he hands the other box to
he
the
hands,
robber.
Yeah, because he can't open it and hold the other one. So he hands one
mm-hmm.
to the bank robber Lincoln.
Right.
And then he opens it, and he's like, look, see, it's just grease, which I thought, ew, gross.
Yeah, just grease.
And then the other guy opens the other one because it feels safe now.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of snakes popped out!
Bunch of snakes, bunch of Steve snakes.
He got so scared that he dropped the gun!
So the guy gets scared, he goes, whoa, what is all this stuff? And Carl, like, kicks him to the ground, handcuffs him, and he gets up really fast and goes straight for Laura. That's his little baby. And nice reunion. So we get another smash cut and go into the Winslow home. And
I totally did not see snakes in the pizza box. I did not.
You didn't see that coming?
Not in a million years saw that coming.
No.
Mm-mm.
That was a good joke.
It worked. Because I never... Oh. Sure. I never would have expected them in a pizza box.
Mm-hmm.
Like in that, what do you call it? In that peanut brittle jar. That's
right.
What you expect to see them in.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you know, oh.
Oh, there we go. That's exactly what's going to happen. Snakes. But no, pizza mm-hmm. box. Got the snakes. And
it was perfect.
Yeah, so they're home now and... Harriet and Mother Winslow are handing out like canned goods to the kids to the
yeah.
trick-or-treaters because Laura never came back. And this
you get tomato soup and you get pork and beans.
Still doing the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Perfect
bit.
Hunchback, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Laura walks in, and this is what bugs me. I mean, they just instantly started like getting mad at her because that
reprimanding her when she was technically a hostage.
She was a hostage at gunpoint, and here we go. She's just being bombarded.
In danger.
Yeah. So they go off into the kitchen to, I guess, to so she could finally explain, "Hey, leave me alone. I was just, I could have died tonight." And
you know, and the thing that always made me, well, I don't know why I said always, like I'd seen it before, because I don't, but all I could think was is the dad was there. He should have said something like, wait, before you get mad.
Right.
But I guess it was probably supposed to be funny.
Right, yeah.
Or but it wasn't, because you know she was in danger.
She was in danger, and I think something should have clued the mom off if, you know, she comes in with her dad. Why would she come in with her dad? Like, it's not like they left together.
Yeah, they didn't go together. They weren't meeting up anywhere, and he was at work.
Yeah, he was at work, so obviously something had to have happened for both of them to come in at the same exact time, even though we've been waiting for her, and all of this could have been avoided if it was 10 years later and we had cell phones.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Any problem in a sitcom? Deposit. Any problem in a sitcom could have been avoided with a cell phone.
An automatic deposit.
Yeah. She wouldn't even have to go to the bank. She could have just gotten money out of the ATM.
Mm-hmm. Steve? Or just bought her candy with her debit card.
Could you imagine young Steve on the computer going, "Okay, I want $9 to go to my Christmas club. I got $2 to go over here."
Honestly,
$3.
I think if he could do it himself that easily, I think he would have taken even longer because he'd be changing his mind even more.
Yeah, he'd be figuring out how to build bombs or something instead. Good times. But, yeah. So yeah, that's... oh no, we're not done. So they go off into the kitchen and arguing some more. Steve wants to talk to Carl, saying, "Hey, Carl, I'm such a coward."
Oh yeah, they had their super touching moment with the really sincere bed music in the background.
That's how you knew something, you know, important was going to happen, because the music slows
down.
There's
the serial music.
Carl, can I talk to you for a minute?
What's on your mind, Steve?
Oh, I just...
Steve, what's wrong?
I'm a coward.
What are you talking about?
I picture myself overpowering that robber and saving the day. Like chicken down. I just did everything he told me to do.
Well, Steve, that's exactly what you should have done.
No. Laura was in danger. I mean, I should have done something.
Steve, that man was armed. I mean, if you had made a move, you might have gotten hurt. Laura might have gotten hurt.
But you made a move. I mean, you waltzed in there with that silly wig and bad accent. You were a real hero, Carl.
Steve, can you keep a secret?
Sure.
I was real scared, too.
Really? You didn't show it?
Only because I've been trained for those situations. But remember, I used your trick snakes.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, Steve, you stuck by my daughter. You made sure that she was okay. You did your very best to do that. And in my book, that makes you a hero.
Thanks, Mon.
Nice string music going on. And Carl's all like, "You know what? You took care of my little girl when she was in there and she could have gotten hurt. You are a hero to me." And they hug it out.
Aww.
And that's the end of the show.
Yeah, I thought it was very touching at the end. And I thought the costumes were fun. And I liked the jokes. I thought the show was funny.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, Family Matters is a really good show. If you watch it from the beginning, you kind of notice that things get really weird somewhere around season 5-ish, season 6-ish, when Steve starts doing all of his crazy experiments, like turning into Stefan and cloning himself in a later
season.
Well, it's
funny you mention that, because I don't remember what happened, but one of those episodes just came up on something I was watching, and I was like, I was doing something else, and I saw Family Matters was going to start playing. I'm like, okay, And then I was like, I don't remember these parts so good.
Right.
These are weird. Because it was the first time he turned into Stefan.
Right.
I remember thinking, this was weird.
It was. When he turned into Stefan, and when he cloned himself, when he started reading people's minds, and it just got so weird. It got to the point where, I mean, remember we joked not too long ago about Judy, the third child in the Winslow home, how she was like
kind of just vanishing,
kind of vanished. One of the theories going on that that kind of makes a little bit of sense is at one point Steve goes back in time and he changes something, and then he goes back into the future, and then all of a sudden Judy's gone.
He erased Judy.
That's kind of like a fan theory. I don't think it was ever like brought up or anything of what really happened, why that actress is no
like
longer there.
It's just like reading between the lines and trying to explain it. Like, maybe she just went back to school, or maybe she got sick, or maybe she was eaten by piranha.
Yeah, because they never addressed it. Like, she was just there one day and then she was gone the next. Like, nobody said anything. I don't know. It's not like in Boy Meets World where they changed the daughter, or in Roseanne where they changed the daughter too.
Or like in Fresh Prince where they got rid of the mom and got a different mom because they didn't like the actress.
Yeah, and Jazz says, hey, who's going to play the mom this season? Kind of stuff like that. They didn't do anything like that with Judy. She was just gone.
Or my favorite one was, after you had that baby, I don't recognize you anymore.
That was another good one.
I watched a YouTube video on like people who had their cast members fired or replaced or something.
Oh, wow.
Just like earlier today. That was one of the ones that stuck out at me, because stuck out. I don't think that's the right way to use that phrase. Whoops, sorry.
Oh, I understand.
But I remember thinking she looked not even close.
No.
I didn't feel like they looked anything alike to be like replacing her.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like I caught that they did it in Roseanne, but it wasn't so hard to just go with it because she looked a lot like her.
Right. I mean, it was a young blonde girl. So they got a young blonde girl to replace her. It's not like they got a redheaded Asian woman to play the daughter. They got somebody that looks similar. So it's kind of the same thing. They recasted Harriet too in the last season. I don't know if you knew that. Last 10 episodes, of Family Matters, it was a different woman, different actress.
I don't remember. I need to spend more time with this show. I forgot how much I liked it.
Maybe we'll visit another Halloween episode next year when we do some more Halloween shows.
I look forward to that. I will. Yeah.
All right. So I guess that's going to do it for this episode. And come back tomorrow.
Thanks for having me on. It was fun.
Oh, thank you for being here, April. It's always a pleasure talking to you. But for all the Halloween fans out there, I don't know how many more shows I have left to go. But I'm doing one Halloween-themed episode every single day of October. That's 31 shows coming from me. And it's quite a task. 31 shows. And if they're...
As a listener, it's worth it. Thank you.
Yeah, if they're an hour long like this one is right now, I'm going to be behind the mic for quite a long time. 30 hours. That's more than a day, believe it or not.
Do you have a comfortable chair?
I do, actually. I do.
Good. Yay.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening, and come back tomorrow where I will have another Halloween themed show. And I don't know what I'm doing.
Halloween now.
No, I don't think this one will come out on Halloween. I'm going to save Halloween for something very special.
Okay.
Even though Family Matters is special, but this Halloween episode wasn't very Halloweenish. It was kind of like, something happened, and it happened during Halloween. It's not like people were playing.
I agree with you on that one, totally.
Not like some of the other ones, but... Okay, so thank you for listening, and I will see you tomorrow. Good night.
See you guys later. Bye!
Lara?
What?
I think I can take this guy.
Where, to a movie?